Okay, our next speaker is Bill Roundy. He lives in Southern California. He grew up in Washington, D.C., and his parents were friends with Glenn Kirkland, who was an early ASA member. His profession is that he is a retired chemistry professor, and he is also a member of our local Southern California chapter of the ASA. His hobbies are soccer, gardening, and reading, and his favorite pro sports team is the LA Galaxy. Please join me in welcoming Bill Roundy.
Thank you. Oh, this doesn't.
No, you have to use the clicker, the mouse clicker, or the.
Okay.
Or this keyboard. One. That doesn't work.
This one here?
Yeah, you can use that, or you can use this one right here, up and down.
Okay.
And yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunately, that
didn't work. That's fine. Okay, so this is an outline of what I want to talk about. Mostly I want to talk about representative causes of people being intersex, and Genesis 1 at intersex. And I'm not going to cover everything. Genesis 1:27, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And in our culture, we have a binary view of sex. Each person is thought of as either a male or a female. There's actually great variation in our male bodies and in our female bodies. So it is not surprising that a small percentage of us have bodies which are between male and female. Intersex bodies do not fit in the binary view. Unknown numbers of intersex infants and children have had cosmetic surgery, not a large percentage of us totally, but a large percentage of them maybe in our culture, to give them acceptable bodies, that's cosmetic surgery. Their intersex condition was kept secret even from them, and sometimes they get very angry when they discover as adults. I leaned on it. I leaned on it too much. Since God has made these children, is unrequested cosmetic surgery the best option? That's one side aspect of this talk. The common definitions of male and female, at one time, it was the external genitalia that were used to define male and female, and then later on, it was the gonads, and then more recently, maybe the chromosomes, and I think we would assume that all of these three categories are essential for defining a male and a female. Some people may disagree with that. That's just a problem of definition, I guess. The causes of intersex, I'm going to describe briefly. And the question is, in Genesis, intersex people are actually partly male and partly female. And I'm going to talk about three types of mutations, hormonal problems that result in intersex people. The first one's androgen insensitivity syndrome, or AIS, and then two varieties of that, and congenital hyperadrenal hyperplasia, and then 5-alpha reductase deficiency very briefly. And I want to talk about mosaics and chimeras. A mutation in the hormone system can result in intersex, and you can have a person with two X chromosomes and ovaries, but ambiguous genitals. And you can have a person with XY chromosomes and testes, but female genitals. Those would be examples of intersex people. A change in the number of sex chromosomes can result in a mosaic intersex person. A person can have one set of cells with an X and a Y chromosome and another set of cells with just an X chromosome, and have oval testes, both testicular and ovarian tissue in their gonads, and female genitals, and I would classify them as intersex. And chimeras are result from a fusion of a male-female twin and a male twin, and when they fuse, they have One set of cells has an X chromosome and a Y chromosome, and another set of cells has two X chromosomes, and then they turn out differently depending upon how those two sets of cells are distributed in the body. Okay, so you can have a female chimera. The chromosomes are both types, but the ovaries can be, the gonads can be ovaries and female genitals. So we call that person a female. And testes and male genitals, even though they're chimera of this type, we say they're male. And then we have intersex ones where the gonads can be male and female and ambiguous genitals. Common definitions, again, we just saw that. Is everyone either a male or a female as described above? I would say not, based upon what I've learned. Specific examples to be given, and we already mentioned these just a minute ago. And complete androgen insensitivity syndrome, CAIS. In this case, androgens cannot cause damage, cannot cause changes in cells because the cells cannot respond to the presence of the male hormones during sexual development because the protein has the wrong structure. The ones I want, most of them are due to the androgen receptor on the cells doesn't function, and so the cell can't change. And you may know that originally an embryo or whatever, maybe before that, you have two gonads, and the males and the females are the same, and each gonad has a Wolfian duct and a Müllerian duct, and in the case of the male, the Müllerian duct goes away. In the case of the female, the Wolfian duct goes away. Okay, and so they're the same to begin with. And so then, when you have androgens that don't have a proper response, you end up with how did I skip two? I don't understand. My picture is gone. Okay, yeah, so we did this. It's a small percentage of the XY births. How could that have gone away? I don't understand. I must have leaned on something. They often marry men, are infertile, and so they adopt children. Until recently, people could not know that the genetic cause of their infertility, or earlier, they wouldn't even know there's a possibility of a genetic cause. And so pastors would have had no reason not to marry them. Partial androgen insensitivity syndrome. Androgens cause some changes in cells, but the cells cannot respond completely to the presence of the male hormones during sexual development. Prevalence is unknown, but probably at least as prevalent as CAIS. Why are those slides gone? They have disappeared.
Do you want to try the other file?
Yeah, let's try the other one.
Okay. This will take just a second. If you want to keep talking or something,
I got started on this, studying this a couple or 3 years ago, and it was kind of surprising.
Let's see here. There we go. We'll use the PDF instead.
Okay.
Let's see. I am not sure how to get into full screen.
You can still use the down keys to move it from.
But how do I get to full screen with the PDF? Does anybody know?
View?
Center right. Yeah, we're under view.
Under view?
There's a full screen option.
Page display.
Keep going down.
Oh, here we go, right there. Thank you. Okay, you'll have to scroll through.
Yeah, that's okay. 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 That looks weird from here. So in the female, in this first case, I have the normal male here and the normal female there. And for complete androgen insensitivity syndrome, the chromosomes are male and the testes develop, so that's the male part. But the body can't respond. This would be intersex because it doesn't react properly. It's not female, not male. And so the Wolfian ducts regress, they go away, and they should develop instead in a male. MIS produces this Müllerian inhibiting substance is produced, and therefore the Müllerian ducts do not develop. So that's consistent with the male. The external genitalia are female. That's consistent with a female. Feminizing puberty without periods. Okay, so this is a different view, different type of thing. And so these people have male parts and female external genitalia, and so we call them intersex, but some people just call them females because they look like everybody else, they marry men, and so on. And CIS people, as we saw before, they marry children, and so on. I read that to you previously. Partial one, we read this, and this is the other one that was missing. So here we have chromosomes are the same, testes develop. The androgen is partially unresponsible, the body's partially unresponsive, and so the Wolfian ducts develop minimally. The MIS is produced as before in the previous one. The external genitals are ambiguous, and you have partial masculinizing puberty with testosterone therapy or feminizing puberty with estrogen therapy. Who should decide whether a PAIS child or youth should receive testosterone therapy or estrogen therapy? The parents, the doctors. That's what happened a lot in the past with infants and very young children. And those people sometimes get very unhappy when they become adults and find out what happened to them, or the child or the youth just before puberty. And this is a simple device diagram, male, ambiguous, whereas with the complete one, it was female and an intersex person also. More obviously this time. Mild androgen intensity syndrome. These people are all called males. They appear as males, they operate as males. They have no disabling symptoms, but it results in a range of male sexual characteristics. And apparently there's been no study of these people who are males because they're not thought of as having any problems. Congenital adrenal hyperplasia is in XX individuals. I thought I'd have one start out XY and one start out XX. Classic, and occurs in about 0.006%. Symptoms occur before birth. Non-classic occurs in about 0.1%. And in this case, symptoms come and go beginning in late childhood or early adulthood. I'm only going to talk about the classic. And in classic, again, we have normal female. There are no testicular androgens, but excessive adrenal androgens are produced. And so that makes that different from both male and female. The Wolfian ducts regress because there's not much, because it's the androgens from the adrenal gland. No MIS is produced because there are no testes. And so that's not produced until the Müllerian ducts develop, which is normal female. The genitals are ambiguous, and feminizing puberty is treated with cortisol. And this is a simplified diagram. The chromosome female, gonads female, external genital ambiguous, and intersex person. Alpha 5-alpha reductase deficiency affects XY individuals. External genitals at birth are either female or ambiguous. At puberty, their testosterone level, their testosterone affects some changes normal for boys. Children are often raised as girls. About half of these adopt a male gender role in adolescence or early adulthood. This is a recessive trait that's passed on, and there's an extended family in Dominican Republic and a couple other countries where this is very prominent, very prevalent. This is my source for the large tables. It's a John Hopkins Children's Center publication online. And what's the appropriate terminology? The preferred terminology seems to be disorder of sexual development. Doctors prefer this because they like disorders because then they can treat them. Yeah. They're used. Everything's called a disorder that's different. Some people who are intersex prefer the intersex term or something like that. They don't generally prefer the disorder because they don't want to have doctors operate on them and change them just so they'll look better or look more like they think they should look. How many mutations do children have which are not inherited from their parents? 41 to 63, depending upon the age of the father. because of the eggs are made once and they aren't, there's not a sequence of their being made one from another or one after another. Mosaics are animals with a set of cells which differ in their genetic material from the rest of the cells in the animal. The difference is caused by a mistake, I put that in quote marks, in copying or dividing the genetic material. It affects one cell and all of the cells descended from it. The change can involve a single nucleotide, a group of nucleotides, a missing or extra chromosome, inactivation of the X chromosome is one, but that doesn't lead to intersex, that last one. That's, yes. Calico cats and tortoiseshell cats are an example of X chromosome inactivation. They're mosaics, and X chromosome inactivation is a result of the fact that males have only one X chromosome and females have two X chromosomes, and there's 1,000 more genes about on the X chromosome than on the Y chromosome, and you can't have twice as many copies of the genes and have a person turn out normal. Okay, you need to have the same number for men and women, and so therefore the extra genes on one X chromosome are made inactive by coiling up one of the two X chromosomes. Not totally, but mostly. So normal females are one type of mosaic. Okay, there's an exception to that, and that'd be people with Turner syndrome. Just a small exception. Two mosaics I'd like to talk about. A woman with X and Y chromosomes in one set of cells and a single X chromosome, only one sex chromosome in the other set of cells, gave birth to a girl. And there was nothing problem with that. Nobody knew it was a problem or anything. No question asked at the time. But then the mother's ovary turned out to be 93% male and 6%. And the daughter seemed to be mostly male with the Y chromosome coming from her father. The daughter didn't have any periods, and she's getting older, so they had her studied. And then as a result of that, they asked permission to study the mother, and then they discovered the information on the mother. And the mother in her blood, her XY was 100% in the blood, 80% in the skin, 92.9% in the gonads. The cells they studied 1,000 cells in the gonad. They didn't study as many here because it wasn't as interesting. And so we don't know what her heart is and other things like that. They didn't study those. Who wouldn't want to have your heart? I have a piece removed just for study. You know, they already have done enough. And this is the daughter here. The mother, you can see she has some cells in the gonad that are XX. And I would suppose that has to do with the fact that then she ends up having a daughter. I don't know. As far as I know, she just has the one child, but I didn't really research that. And this is a little diagram of her, mostly male, question mark, because they didn't study all of the organs, right, or all of the cells. Female, and we would say she's female, she had a daughter, but then I would say she's intersex. But we can call her female, that's fine with me. That's, everybody thought of her that until this study. Yeah, chimeras. A chimera has two different sets of cells. Each set of cells has its own set of chromosomes. The possible origins, a fusion of two zygotes. I talked about that already. But there's also the concept that maybe stem cell came from another twin, just a stem cell, and then you get just a few cells, a small percentage of the cells that are of the second set, and so on. Mothers are often chimeras. They're microchimeras because they get stem cells from miscarried infants or whatever. But these are some pictures. You can look these up on the web. Appears to be a chimera, but I suppose it could be a mosaic if these cells, the brown went away. The brown gene was destroyed, and you end up with a blue eye. So it could be a mosaic, but. And this one has a brown stripe there and a little brown around the iris. And this is called Blasco syndrome, that pattern of stripes on the skin. The two women chimeras are interesting. This is the first time I read about, actually I learned about chimeras from African violets, but that's a story. I kind of got started on part of this that way, taking care of Violet for another lady, for a lady, yeah. Lydia Fairchild lived in the Northwest, either Oregon or Washington. I think it was Washington. She had two children, her husband, and she separated. She lost her job. She had to apply for welfare. In that state, in order to apply for welfare, you have to prove that the children are yours. The proof consists of a DNA test. They did the DNA test. The test proved that the children were not hers. The doctor said the children are hers, but the law was written in terms of the DNA test, and so the children weren't hers legally. And then about a year later, somebody in the prosecutor's office read about Karen Keegan's case in Massachusetts, I think it was, and she needed a kidney transplant. She had three children. They did the DNA test. Two of the three children turned out not to be hers, and so the doctors applied to have a grant to do research on that, and it turns out she was a chimera. She had had her thyroid removed. It was in a jar someplace, and they studied that, and sure enough, that thyroid proved that two children were hers, and then they did further tests to do further confirmation. Okay, so these are two chimeras. Neither of the witches the kind we're interested in. We're interested in ones with XY and XX sets of cells, and it's estimated that 10% or 5 to 15% of us are chimeras. I don't know that those are independent numbers. Anyway, from different papers. Of interest, I already said that. It depends on how the two sets of cells are distributed in the body. So of us here, maybe there's two or three of us that are chimeras. I don't know. And I would assume that if there's that high a percentage, that must be very beneficial to us. Other God, wise God wouldn't have made us that way, right? Okay, so then these are different categories. The chromosomes are all both male and female, and the ones we're interested in. And here you have a man, it's a chimera with chromosomes like that, and a female with chimera ones like that, an intersex one with other properties here. And this is a tetragametic, that would mean two eggs and two sperm. A baby girl, a study of the amniotic fluid samples before birth indicated a chimera. A normal baby girl was born. Analysis performed on a blood sample showed that 93% of the cells were female and 7% were male. They only studied 300 cells, though. The studies were done because the mother was older. Okay? So that's a pink slide. Okay? And this is a newborn. A boy was expected based on prenatal cytogenic analysis. I think they looked at whether or not there was Y chromosomes present in the amniotic fluid, and they found Y chromosomes, and so they assumed it was a boy. Okay, that's what I think that meant. In peripheral lymphocytes, both XX and XY were present. Researchers thought the gonads were derived only from XX cells. They decided she is a chimera. Okay, so that's a another one. This one is really interesting. Another chimera of this kind. They determined that by studying cells in the amniotic fluid. Reassuringly, all previously reported cases of this type were found in the womb. The newborn had normal external genitals. This infant had ambiguous external genitals and really was a chimera. After a few months, exploratory minor surgery revealed a normal testis and bass were present on the left side, and an ovary and uterus are present on the right. Okay, so that's another kind of intersex. In meiosis, producing the sperm, we start out with 46 chromosomes per person. 46 chromosomes divides once, divides again, 23 chromosomes. Okay, that's pretty simple. And in the case of the formation of the egg, you get 46 chromosomes, 46 and 23. And people have thought that the two polar bodies were small, but apparently one can be bigger, maybe even bigger than this, I don't know. And then if both of these are fertilized, then you can get a chimera, because look how close they are together. They're really close together. And so I think this seems to me to be the most logical case, and this is, again, from NIH publication. And it just says that it's possible, that last slide was possible. And this is a summary again of these. And there are many other types that aren't known, and that are known that I haven't mentioned. And every birth in nearly all countries require that each birth be recorded as either male or female. In Germany and a few other countries, the sex on a birth certificate can be indeterminate. This is a problem for people that are intersex, and then they decide, their parents decide they should be female, and then when they get to be teenagers, they say, no, I'm a male. Okay, so it's, it can be problematic. It should be truthful. Dizygotic, that means two zygotes to begin with, and this means two placentas, and there's some Y chromosomes in the girl that survived. Intersex people are made in the image of God and should be made to feel that God should not be made to feel that God doesn't love them or care for them. Do we need different rules? How might our understanding of Genesis chapter 1 and the existence of intersex people affect our understanding of that verse? And 1:6, the word vault is there, and it's a dome and firmament in other translations. And none of us believes that there's really a solid vault above the flat earth. None of us believe that. The Babylonians believed in a firmament. Dennis Lamoureux mentioned both of those earlier today. And this is Egyptian firmament here. You can see it's a god shaped like a person. It's from an engraving. And then this is from Origins by the Harzmas. And there's the firmament there. Ancient Near East cosmology, and here's from the Old Testament. The firmament again. But we don't believe that, right? That's the way they thought about it, so it isn't strange that it's part of their culture, and we don't want to take that as revelation from God, that there really is a firmament. It's just part of their way of communicating the truth. This is a map of the Earth from 1893, the square and stationary Earth, and here's the flying Earth over here. 400 passages in the Bible that condemn the globe theory or the flying earth, and none sustain it, okay? So I thought that was pretty cool. This map is the Bible map of the world. Okay, that's in the Library of Congress. This is an artist's imagination of previous views of the firmament. Was or is God's purpose in giving us the Bible? Was it and is it to teach us how to have a good relationship with God? Or was it and is it to teach us about the earth and other subjects of science as well as how to have a good relationship with him? Which is a question that is interesting for us. This is a conclusion of some of us. Since the view of the world in Genesis, a dome, etc., is different from our view, no dome, etc., it would be consistent if other parts of Genesis chapter 1 are also different from our view of the world. So God created mankind in his own image, in the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. And that part right there, I think I'll just go over this in the interest. So we could say male, female, and intersex, or we could say people reproducing asexually. Okay, so it's indicating a sexual reproduction. It doesn't mean that there aren't anybody it doesn't mean that everybody's a male or a female. But there's a small percentage of us that aren't, and I can think of it this way, I don't know if you want to or not. Colossians 1:6, all things have been created through him, through Christ, and God has created all things, including those people who are intersex. I'm going fast, right?
You get 2 minutes.
In Matthew 19, some are born as eunuchs, okay, Jesus said that, and so on. And he didn't criticize them. He didn't say there was anything wrong with them. Why were they born as eunuchs? Because of sin. The man born blind, this was mentioned earlier in this room. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus said, right? But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. And Paul says he wishes everyone were single just as I am. Yet each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another. Boy, I never before thought about the single being connected as a special gift. And the eunuchs in the verse before is quite different. And in Galatians, no male nor female. Okay? It's interesting. God creates people. And advantages. I want to talk about this just for a second, and then I'll be done. Fewer of our children, advantage of having brothers and sisters in Jesus and one's church who have different views from what you have. And fewer of our children leave our faith as they learn more. Well, if your parents and the people they know in your church have other, have a variety of views, then if they change their mind about one particular subject, the shape of the earth or how the earth moves in the universe, that's not a threat to them because they know believers who hold that same view. And it can remove barriers to non-believers when we tell them about Jesus, because we don't say you have to believe in a flat earth or you don't have to believe in a firmament, right? We know that Christians that believe other things. As a matter of fact, yes, I'll just stop right there. It prevents parents from becoming emotionally distant from or even disowning their children because of different views. Okay? It's like knowing a Christian who's a philosopher. Yeah, and then we have verses like that, and that's the end of my talk.